We'll turn to the scriptures, please, in 2 Samuel and chapter 22, please. 2 Samuel and chapter 22. I've been in London today, and as I was coming back, I got my Scourby CD to read it back to me, and it took 4.5 minutes. So we'll just take time to read the whole scriptures, because I think that's the most important part of this evening, to read God's word. So we'll just take time to sing, to read the whole of the chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 22. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song, in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, and my refuge, my Saviour, thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall all I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. And the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of the heaven moved and shook, because he was wroth. There went up smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was upon his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and its fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared, the foundations of the world were discovered. And at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils, he sent from above, he hooked them, he drew them up, drew them out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them that hated me, and they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the days of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me, because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands have he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright, and with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself unsavoury. And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but mine eyes are upon the might haughty, and of those mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect, the word of the Lord is tried, he is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and my power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet alike hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps up under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and had turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them, that they could not rise, yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast all given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I breed them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and didst spread them abroad. Thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me safe to be the head of the heathen. A people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth and blesseth my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me. And that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou hast also hast lifted me up high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed forevermore. And God will add a blessing to the public reading of his precious word. Well, we've been praying, have we not, in the prayer meeting so far about the work in Holiday Bible Club. And if you remember, if you were here on Friday or during the week, you would have noticed that the whole theme of the Holiday Bible Club was music of the Bible. So as we come here into chapter 22 of 2 Samuel, I think the music theme follows through. We see here what before us in this chapter, the great character of David as he would sing praises unto God. You know, as we look through these chapters and we look through the verses of Scripture, we see here, and maybe just acquire a verse from the next chapter, in verse 1 it tells us there, he was the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was the sweet psalmist of Israel. And as we look back and we look through Scripture, we see wonderful songs brought before us throughout Scripture. We see particularly, do we not, the first time you mention a song in Exodus and chapter 15 of Moses' song. And we see there the background to that song of how they've been brought through the wilderness. And as he reflects upon what God has done for him, he would sing praises unto God. We would read in 2 Samuel, do we not, of chapter 2, of Hannah's song. And we read there the truths found in that song. And then I thought in the Old Testament, as we think again of that one, the Song of Solomon, what's the very first verse tell us in Song of Solomon? The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. So we've come this evening to very simply consider David's Song of Songs. And we brought before us here in chapter 22. Now that I know I'm very conscious this evening that there's 51 verses in this chapter, and I'm sure we're not going to get through them all, but I really just want to very simply break this chapter down into a number of sections. But before we do that, we need to consider the background to this of this great man of David. We've considered, have we not, so much about this great character of David. We've thought, have we not, in past days of how David was a shepherd. And we can look back to those maybe younger days when he was a shepherd in the fields. And how he showed and he looked upon the glory of God every day of the week. As he maybe spent many hours upon the side of the hills. Looking up to God. Seeing the wonders of the creation. And we particularly see, do we not, in Psalm 19 of those books. A book of pictures and a book of words, can I suggest, in Psalm 19. Where the psalmist would look. And he would see the very things of creation. But not only do we not consider David as a shepherd, but we see him as a soldier. And we see right through the scriptures, do we not, of how he was a soldier. Of how God taught him. And we'll see that in a few verses' time. But then not only as a shepherd, but not only as a soldier, but as a sovereign. And we'll see him, as we not, as King David, a mighty man. And yet we'll see again the things that we would consider in this chapter. So not only a shepherd, not only a soldier, not only as a sovereign, but tonight I want to consider him as a singer. As a singer. As he praises God in this chapter. You know, David composed this song, I'm sure, to praise God and to commemorate his victorious victories. We'll read that in the first few verses. But one thing I did notice, that it's not a song about himself as such. I know he relates the events of his life, but everything is geared and pointed to bring praise to God. We'll see that in verse 1, how David spake unto the Lord the words of this song. Some say this is the very last few words of David, and I'm sure the next speaker will speak on chapter 23 will cover that. But truly, this whole chapter is really just a reflection on his life. Reflection on the goodness of God. You know, sometimes we just we live in a land that we lock in, we live in a society that we'll just go day from day and just carry on through our various chores, all our legitimate things that we do. But I just really want to very simply this evening just to exhort us, all of us, as David did, is just to stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. David stood still in his life as he looked back upon that life of him. And he realized that every single circumstances, and we'll find that in the verses that will lie ahead, that God was behind everything. God was with him. And we take those words of Hebrews that I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Now, I don't know if you've realized, but in chapter 22 here, there's a number of scriptures in the Bible that repeat themselves. And if you took time as you read through that chapter this evening, as I read through it this evening, I wonder whether you noticed that it seems to read like a psalm. And you'll be true, because in Psalm 18, it's exactly the same words thereabouts, a few little tweaks here and there. But exactly the same words are relayed in Psalm 18. It's almost identical. I think somebody has said, I think there's around 70 or 74 very, very minor tweaks just in the language, because obviously this was written as a history book, and maybe the psalmist, as we know, was written as more like a hymn or a song to actually sing. And I thought of that even as I considered these chapters, that Psalm 18 would be the hymn book of Israel, is it not? As we look through those 150 psalms of that great book, Can we remember this evening? The Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. We could look through the sufferings of Christ in Psalm 22. We could look back to the very psalm at the very end of that book, at praise given to God. From everything, from down upwards and downwards, every living thing under the earth and above the earth was to praise God. A hymn book of Israel. And yet I think here in 2 Samuel 22 we have the history book maybe of Israel. But I also noted as well in chapter 22, I think here we are looking back. David's looking back on his life. And I think as we look, if you're looking at Psalm 18, it's not looking back there, but it's looking forward. Looking forward to the one that was to come to save them. So let's just spread this chapter up for the time that we've got together here. I want to just really split this song into four verses. Four verses. And then within the four verses, I wanted to split it down just slightly into smaller chunks as we'll consider some lessons. And I really want to just very simply, as I've looked at this chapter, and you look back onto the other people that have done the previous chapters, some have looked at it different ways, and I want to just very simply, you know, very look practically and look at some of the lessons that you and I can learn from this chapter, from this song of David. So as we'll split this chapter up, I suggest, as we see here in four verses, verses 2 to 20, David sings here of the God who saves, and we'll consider that in a few moments' time. And then in verses 21 through to 30, we'll see there how David sings of the God who sustains. And what a God that we have, and we'll consider that in a moment too. Thirdly, we see verses 31 through to verses 49, and we'll see there that David now sings of the God who strengthens. And we'll see that in the verses, in those verses as we'll come to that. And then finally, in the very final chapter, the very final verse of the song, in verses 50 and 51, the very last two verses, maybe we'd like to consider that David sings of the God who secures. So a God that saves, a God that sustains, a God that strengthens, and a God that secures. So let's go through these verses as we'll go through in these sections this evening. So firstly, I want to notice as well, the first thing you need to notice in chapter 22, as we read verse 1, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in that day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out at the hand of Saul. Now we can look back into the life of David, and you'll see there of all the enemies that David had. But it's interesting to note in this verse that probably the worst enemy that he ever had was Saul. And yet he called out this individual in verses 1. We read, he delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. I don't think David did class Saul as an enemy. He respected Saul as the anointed king. I think that's the little truth just in that little verse there. That he just calls out that individual of Saul. That all his enemies were delivered. But out of the hand of Saul. And I think if you look very carefully in those verses, you'll see that the word out of the hand is, my understanding, it's the same as the verses in the previous verses when in 1 Samuel chapter 17, is it? When David and Goliath are there. And when David goes to Saul and he says, well, I'll fight him. And Saul looks upon him and says, well, you can't fight him. You're only just a little lad. And yet he tells him that the Lord delivered him out of the paw of the lion. And he delivered him out of the paw of the bear. And the idea here is that he delivered him out of the paw of Saul. So verse 1. There about the enemies of David. So as we said, in verses 2 to verse 20, we have here that David sings of God who saves. Throughout David's life, he was saved. And we read in verses 1 and 2 that he was delivered. We read that a few times. And he was saved. God delivered him from the hand and the paw of the lion. He delivered him out of the paw of the bear. He delivered him out of the hand of Goliath. He saved him from Saul. I think it's 5 times or so that Saul is accounted to try to kill David. And yet each time it was thwarted. Each time God delivered him. Each time God saved him. God delivered David from backsliding. God delivered David from the Israel enemies on numerous occasions. God delivered David from his own sinful passions. And what does it say? The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. Throughout the whole of experience of life, David had a relationship with God. It's a challenge to you and I, is it not? Do we have a relationship with God? And this very simply in these verses brought before us in 2 to verse 20, just very just subtitles here, just to bring these verses out, I want to consider verses 2 and 3 of the personal relationship that David had with his God. As we just look through those verses in 2 and verse 3, we see there he is accounted, he is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my deliverer. In verse 3, he is my shield. He is my salvation. He is my high tower. He is my refuge. And I suppose we could add Psalm 22, could we not? The Lord is my shepherd. He had a personal relationship with God. In every aspect of his life, he realized that the whole events that he went through, he could look back upon the life of himself and look back upon what God had done for him. Maybe suggest this evening as we look upon that phrase, the Lord is my rock. God gave him stability. More than likely, David spent many hours and many years and many months maybe in the wilderness at that time, amongst the rocks. And he realized the stability that those rocks gave. And as he compared it to God, he could say, the Lord is my rock. We could think of that place of safety. He is my fortress. He is my fortress. We could think tonight of how he was delivered as a shield in verse 3. In salvation in verse 3. A secure place, a high tower, a place of supply. And he could provide security, my refuge. You know those many times you spend in that cave? as maybe it was a cave hewn out of the rock. And yet here he is, David, looking beyond that. Though, okay, that gave him security and a refuge in a certain time. But he is one, he's looking to one who can save him. The one that gave him who is his fortress. The one that can save him. The one that can shield him. And we'll see, I think it's 10 times in these few verses of the word my and the word me. The Lord is my rock. Can I challenge each and every one of us this evening as we look upon the scriptures of David and we look back maybe upon our lives? Can we be like David? Do we have a personal relationship with God? Can we look back on our situations and call him, he is my deliverer. He is my rock. He is my shepherd. He is my high tower. He is my refuge. But David did. He had a personal relationship with God. But as we move down here, we see in verses 4 to 7, it's no longer now a personal relationship with God. It's a powerful relationship with God. Due to the above assurances and the personal relationship that he had with God, he was prepared for every life's eventuality. You know, as we see again, as we reflect on David's life, people despised him. Cities rejected him. He was sometimes a bit of an outcast. Saul was constantly hounding him. But when times of trouble came, what do we read in these verses? In verses 4, I will call on the Lord. You know, sometimes it's human nature, isn't it? When difficulties come along, we try and fix it our own way. Maybe we'll think, well, if we do this, and if it works, we'll be okay. But maybe if this doesn't work, we'll then take it to God. Not so with David. He went straight to the Lord and brought his petitions before him. What did he read? We read in verse 4, I will call on the Lord. In verse 7, I will call on the Lord. In verse 7, 2, he cried to my God. He is a man who is praying. A man who cried to his God. A man who had a powerful relationship with his God. And trusted in him. And knew that when he cried unto him, that God would hear. What does verse tell us? Verse 7 tell us. In my distress I called upon the Lord. And cried to my God. And he did hear my voice. Now, I always wonder, as I look back in the story of Jonah, and you know, Jonah went everything he went out to get as furthest away from God as he could. He was told to go up the country, and he went down to the country. He went across onto a boat. He was thrown over the top of the boat. He began to sink. That great whale, that great fish swallowed him up. But right in the very depths of the sea, he prayed to God. Furthest away, maybe spiritually, physically speaking, away from God. And what do we read in Jonah? That the Lord heard him. You know, my friend, this evening we can consider and wonder this evening that wherever we are in this world, when we call upon the Lord, he'll be there. And just like these events here, this powerful relationship that David had, the Lord did hear my voice. He not only heard, but he also answered prayer. We think of how he cried on a number of occasions, and God took the events around that circumstance and shielded him with his shield. Maybe give him that refuge away from that situation. Or just simply saved him from the whole situation. You know, he had a powerful relationship with God. Not only a personal relationship, but a powerful relationship too. Let's move on into verse 8 through to verse 20. You know, in these verses here, it's not a personal relationship that David had. It's not a profound relationship that he had. Sorry, it's not a powerful relationship he had, but it's a profound relationship that he had. Just look at these verses. You can see the very awesomeness of God brought before us in these verses. Very graphic, very vivid language is brought before us to explain this profound and awesomeness of God. Just take a look at those phrases in these verses. In verse 9, smoke out of his nostrils. Verse 9, fire out of his mouth. Verse 11, seen upon the wings of the winds. Verse 14, the Lord thundered from heaven. In verse 15, sent out arrows, scattered them, lightning. You know, God uses his resources. And what resources that God has, we can just only wonder. As we see, sometimes God will move heaven and earth to fulfill the promises and the will of God. We can see that through not only through David's life, but throughout Scripture. We thought already of Jonah, how that great fish was prepared. One of the things in the Scriptures that were prepared for Jonah. And then I thought of the New Testament. Think again of Peter and the Lord Jesus as they went to the temple and they found they had no money between them. And yet they had to pay the temple tax. And what did the Lord Jesus do? He told Peter to take the rod and to cast the hook. Nothing attached to the hook. Just a simple hook into the water. And the fish that was caught had that very coin in it to the value to enter, to let two people in to the temple. The Lord stilled the storm, did he not? By simply saying, peace, be still. The Lord fed the 5,000 on 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes and then was able to bring 12 baskets full of fragments. God, David knew the awesomeness of God. Through his experience, through his personal experience with God, through his powerful experience of trusting in God, through prayer and through the things that he did, he had that profound relationship that he knew that God was behind every single circumstance. For what do we read in verse 17? The deep waters. The deep waters. He sent above. He took me and he drew me out of many waters. Maybe trials and problems of life that we and I would be involved with or be taken up with. Sometimes life gets on top of us. We think again of the strong enemy in verse 18. He delivered me from my strong enemy. The strong enemy in our life, is it not the devil and the world? And yet the same God that helped David can help you and I to overcome. And then we read, do we not, in verse 20 here, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Now in verse 18, just going back to that verse 18 there. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. You know, sometimes life's billows and sometimes life's waters and the deep waters that sometimes we go through, sometimes they can be overpowering. Sometimes we'll just go beyond our measures, but they'll never go beyond God's measure. And how we see here that he delivered David from those circumstances. Although the enemy and the trials and the problems were too much for him, a mighty man of God, the king, and yet he trusted in God to deliver him from that. But then we think in verse 20, going back to that point, that God delivers. I thought here that God delivers us, does he not, from our sin. As we look back upon our life and we see that one that delivered us from the sin. And we've been able to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think not only in verse 20 of God's deliverance, but we think of God's dimensions here. We think, do we not hear, that God's never blesses sparingly. God always blesses in a large way. For we read in verse 20, he brought me forth also into a large place. You know, David was spent many a time in confined spaces, many a time in maybe caves and other such things. And yet when he came to God, the whole world was opened up before him. A large space was given. And God never blesses sparingly. And David was brought into that large place. Who would have thought many years back of that poor little shepherd boy would become the king of the land? God blessed him throughout his life. But then not only God's deliverance in this verse, but not only God's dimension in this verse, but we see God's delight. What it tells us? That God delighted in him. What a title over the life of David. I wonder what title God would give over our lives. Would he be able to do what David did? Could you write that word up over your life? That he delighted in me. So let's move on. Time is rushing away. Let's move on to the next little verses here. Verses 21 through to 30. We've thought of already the personal relationship that David had. We've thought of the powerful relationship that David had. We've thought of that profound relationship that he had, that he knew that whatever circumstances that came about, the God of creation would be behind it all, and he would move heaven and earth to fulfill the purposes of himself. But as we come here in verses 21 and 30, as we remarked at the beginning, that this section here, in 21 to verse 30, is David sings of God's who sustains, who sustains. And just three little headings under this verses here, verses 21 through to 28, we see him that God sustains him. God sustains him in times of temptation. We know, do we not, the story well of David committed adultery, he had deception and murder. What do we read in verse 21? The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. David knew he had faults. He knew he wasn't perfect. You know, sometimes that can be difficult to admit, can it not? And I speak to my own heart as much as anybody in the hall here. Sometimes, you know, when we fail and we fall short of God's standard, sometimes it's very difficult to admit when we've done wrong. And yet here, David, on these two occasions in these verses, he says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. In verse 25, the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. He knew that he'd failed, and yet he knew that God had sustained him through those times of temptation. Verse 29, it tells us there, maybe here, the suggestion here, that God sustains him in times of testing. Verse 29 tells us, for thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the light, Lord, will lighten my darkness. You know, life, and your life and my life is sometimes like that, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, darkness would creep in. And as we look upon our life's little journey ahead of us, the darkness of the world and of the devil and the such things would just creep in. And sometimes we just seem to lose sight of the Lord Jesus. Well, what was the prayer of David? Thou art my lamp, O Lord, the Lord will lighten my darkness. We read, do we not, in another chapter in Psalm 119, the longest chapter in those 150, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When the way gets dark, when the dreary way gets even darker, we can come back to the Lord. We can come back to his word. That's what David did. And the Lord will lighten. He will lighten my way, and he will lighten my darkness. So through the sustains in the times of testing. And then in verse 30 we read, do we not? He sustains in the times of trials. Verse 30 tells us, for by thee I have run through a troop, by my God have I leaped over a wall. If you take time to look back into the chapters of chapter 5, I think it is, verses 5 through to 8, I think it is, we'll see there that when David took the city by climbing over the wall. They were so arrogant, the people that had that city. They thought and they cried out that, well, even the lame, well, they just couldn't get in. And yet David here, as he looks back on times of trials and times of difficulties, God had sustained him. God had given him a way forward. Whether it was the lion or the bear, the giant, the king or Saul, or even the armies, God had allowed victory over every obstacle that he faced in life. You know, the hymn writer would tell us, have we trials and temptations? We do we not? David had trials and temptations. And yet the scriptures would remind us here that through that God would sustain us through times of temptation. That the God of David will sustain us in times of testing. And God will sustain us in times of trials. You know, when he called upon the Lord, he knew that God would answer his prayer. Whatever the situation in life, he could trust in God. He knew the sustaining power of God. So let's go back to our last few verses here. As we see in verses 31 to 49, as we said, it's a whistle-stop tour of this chapter. But see here verses 31 to 49. I think the key verse in this particular verse, in these verses, is verse 33. God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. David sings of the God who strengthens. You know, I thought of three little headings here. Verses 31 to 34, we see here how God had protected him. The Lord had guarded him. In verse 31 it tells us, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler. That's a very small shield, sometimes used in hand-to-hand combat. Not like the Roman shield, which was quite high. It was a small shield. The Lord had guarded him. The Lord had protected him. The Lord was his strength, his power, and his stability. And we come back to that image again in verse 32. Who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? But you know, the Bible tells us here that the Lord not only enabled him, not only saved him and delivered him, but maybe in these verses, in verse 34 particularly, that the Lord enabled him to flee. You know, the scriptures would tell us sometimes that sometimes we need to flee. Sometimes God will not deliver us, or God save us from the situation, but we're told to flee. I thought of Joseph, and we think of Potiphar's wife, and how he fled out the household. We think in the New Testament, it would tell us in the writings of the epistles to flee from adultery, flee from youthful lusts. And sometimes, as we see here, we sometimes need to flee, like the deer. The deer, as we see here, its hind, it's a deer. It senses the danger. It won't wait till the danger's on its doorstep. It will sense the danger before it arrives. And just before it arrives, it will flee. I think that's what we need to think about here, about fleeing, is that we need to sense the danger. We need to sense those circumstances that are closing in on us. And just like the deer, and just like the hind, we need to flee from the danger before we get involved in that circumstances. But not only protected him, but we see in verses 35 and 37, we see him prepared. You know, the Lord taught him the skills of war, as we'll see that in verse 35. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken mine eyes. How many years and how many days and how many months and how many years was David spent in the field? We thought about this at Bicester during the week. I think it was on Thursday or Friday night. And they were saying there that maybe as he looked into the field, David was practicing his sling. There wasn't maybe a lot to do, but he kept himself occupied. He would practice the sling. He would keep practicing the sling. And when that practice was perfect, we see later on in his life how God used that skill to kill that great big giant of Goliath. He prepared him. He prepared to kill the bear. He prepared to the sling. But we also see here, going back to that thought of the hinds feet here, in verse 37, "Thou hast enlarged my steps unto me, so that my feet did not sleep." You know, if we're in the Word of God, and we're walking the path of Christ, our feet will be like these hinds feet. You know, the hinds feet, as you look at an animal like that, its first two legs will walk forward. Its back two legs will actually go into the same. If you had a snow scene and you had a hind, it would take two steps forward and the back feet would file and go straight into the ones that the front feet left. It's a very sure-footed animal. You'll see it on the side of a hill or on the side of a cliff. Its feet are sure and his feet will not slip. And God will prepare him and protect him. But not only in these verses, as we just seem to wrap these verses up here, that not only he protected him, not only he prepared him, but he also promoted him in verses 38 through to verse 49. "Thou hast girded me with strength," verse 40 tells us. "He bringeth down the people under me," verse 48. Verse 49, "He lifteth me up on high." Verse 34, "He setteth me upon high places." You know, I thought as we look through these verses, and you'll see it in verses 42, 43, and 44, when we get a higher appreciation of the Lord, the things of earth will go strangely dim. We see in verse 43 that "then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth." Maybe as he faced those armies, they weren't just little bits of dust. But has he appreciated Christ and has he appreciated the Lord? The things of the earth just grow fairly and just faded into significance. Those great armies and great problems that he had were just now just insignificant. He was in high places with his Lord. But God had promoted him. He'd overthrown armies in verse 40. He'd overthrown contentious people in verse 44. He'd overthrown strangers in verses 45 and 46. But he knew that he was singing of the God who had strengthened him. So finally in verses 50 and 51, we read here of not now David singing of his strength or sustaining power, but we see here that David sings of the God who secures. Who secures. I think we have the past, present, and future brought before us in these verses. The past we would see here in verses 50 and 51. "I will give thanks unto thee." But then we have the very presence of God. He is the tower of salvation. And then we see as he looks forward, "Anointed unto David and to his seed forevermore." It's a wonderful little song that we can consider, and we maybe haven't taken too much time this evening. We've maybe just gone through it very quickly. But as we look back, I suppose, as David looked back on his life, we could look back and maybe say the words of Hebrews, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of David is exactly the same that God that you and I would have to deal with as a personal relationship, as a powerful relationship, as a profound relationship that we have. But as you look back upon the good times, David looked back on the good times, and he looked back too on the bad times, and he saw God's purpose right through his life. As you look back, he praised God. He looked back and he said, "I praised him." He looked at the present and he said, "He is my tower of salvation." And he looked forward to that one day he will see him forevermore. So maybe tonight as we look back and we look forward, we can sing like David of old, of the God that saved us, the one that sustains us, the one that strengthens us along life's journey. and one that secures us for the future. Psalm 18, verse 1, really just sums it all up. The desire of David in Psalm 18 and verse 1, remember the same chapter, the same words here. He could write, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." And maybe tonight as we look back and we consider the wonder and the story and the song that David sang, that we can look back and look forward when we shall see our Saviour face to face. We should be a people of singing people, not a sighing people, but we should be giving praise unto God. As we look back and give thanks, as we look in the presence of He is our tower of salvation, but like David, we can look forward to an evermore, an everlasting life with Christ. We might just think upon these things as we consider this psalm this evening. We'll just close in a word of prayer. Our God and Father,